Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
Fred, welcome back to the studio. This is our annual tradition of our list of not-so-old things. This is going to be fun, Fred. We'll talk about soft tissue in T-Rex fossils and hadrosaurs. And also, there are two talk show hosts that are making the news. One at KOA Radio, a show called Stump the Professor. He's been talking about whether or not he wants to debate you and I on the age of the Earth. We'll get to that in a little bit. And Gino Geraci on a local Colorado radio show is going to be speaking next Friday night at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. That's going to be great. And we've got more news, but could we jump right into the science of our list of not-so-old things, things that are supposed to be millions or billions of years old, that all of a sudden, those claims are in great doubt scientifically.
Okay. Well, in the latest issue of Creation Matters, which is a newsletter that the Creation Research Society sends out bimonthly, the December 2010 issue, the lead article is about radiometric cherry picking.
Ooh, cherry
and
picking.
There's a lot of good stuff in here, and one of the ones I'd like to mention first is John Baumgartner did some research on carbon-14 in diamonds. So he's measured carbon-14 in diamonds.
Well,
that
diamonds are supposed to be hundreds of millions or usually billions of years old. So carbon-14, does it last for billions of years?
Well, carbon-14 has a half-life of around 5,700 years. So if you take 10 half-lives, you're around 50,000 years.
50,000 years in a little diamond, whatever carbon-14 was in there to start with, it should all be gone. It should be carbon-14 dead.
That's right, because in that half-life of 5,700 years, half of it becomes nitrogen. So after over 50,000 years, there should be no carbon-14 left.
Right.
You should have lots of nitrogen.
So John Baumgartner, he's a big-shot scientist.
Yeah, he was a scientist for Los Alamos National Labs.
Well, that's
he's
right.
Quite a prominent scientist. Mm-hmm. He was even featured on Time Magazine for his work.
He's one of the world's leading scientists. Yes. As a geophysicist.
Yeah, world-renowned scientist, mm-hmm. And he's published data on carbon-14 found in diamonds. Now, why is carbon-14 found in diamonds that are supposed to be billions of years old?
This is a big problem because carbon-14 should all be gone within thousands of years. It can't last for millions of years, let alone a billion years. And they find carbon-14 everywhere it shouldn't be, in everything that's supposedly millions or billions of years old, including coal, oil, gas, amber, and so on. Maybe we'll talk about that a little more later. So that's a big problem for the old Earth claims.
You know how scientists claim that oil is millions of years old?
Right.
They find carbon-14 in it that can't last millions of years. It decays into nitrogen. Mm.
That's a great one. So carbon-14 in diamonds.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing to me how many people think carbon-14 proves an old Earth. It actually does the opposite.
In fact, when you flew to see your parents, could you tell us that story? Your parents, we did an update on the show, and are they doing well?
So my parents are doing well. They were in the tornadoes that swept through Arkansas, Missouri. They live in southwest Missouri. Mm. And they were actually driving their golf cart. You know, it's a rural community. It's not a golf. They don't live on a golf course, but they drive little golf carts around mm-hmm. to visit their friends. They were driving home that night in their golf cart, and within 10 seconds of pulling into the garage, the roof was gone. The tornado tore the house.
The roof of their house
was gone, and they all of a sudden they look up and they see sky and their house is demolished.
Oh,
so
my.
They're doing great, though. There was a real nice Christian family that let them use their summer home right down the street.
Oh, that's great.
But anyways, on the plane flying out there, I happened to be reading some material on creation.
Fred, you always tell these stories. Every time you get on a plane, somebody gets a life education.
Well, I tell you, Creation Magazine is a great witnessing tool.
It is.
Well, anyways, I was sitting next to a young man from Kenya. And so we got in a conversation about different things related to creation, and he happened to bring up
Obama's birth.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you're talking to him about creation, yeah.
Yeah, and he happened to bring up the topic of carbon-14. He's like, you know, I never really bought into things being millions of years old, but I wasn't really sure. But my brother says, I got to make up my mind because carbon-14 proves that the Earth is old.
I hear that all the time, Fred. Carbon-14 is the greatest scientific friend of a young Earth. Because it decays within thousands of years, it would all be gone.
Yeah. secular scientists that are against creation don't know to not use it as an argument, but for some reason, the public thinks that carbon-14 proves an old Earth. It does the opposite.
It does the opposite because it's found everywhere it's not supposed to be, so that's no longer an anomaly. It's an anomaly if maybe the specimen was tainted and there's some problem, but you dig into a diamond, which is the hardest naturally occurring substance on Earth, you want to make sure your specimen is not contaminated. Well, check in a diamond or check in rock hard amber, and lo and behold, there's carbon-14.
That's right. They take great care to make sure they don't contaminate it.
So this guy from Kenya found out that carbon-14 is a great friend of those who are teaching people that the Earth is young.
That's right. And he, at the end of the flight, I gave him my copy of Creation Magazine, and so he's hoping to use some arguments against his brother.
All right. Yeah, oh, the Creation Magazine. That's so great. Before we get to the soft tissue and the dinosaur fossils, Fred, another example out of this edition of Creation Matters. And by the way, the audience should remember that you're with the Creation Research Society. You're their webmaster. Thank you for doing that. It's a labor of love for all these years. And so this latest issue of Creation Matters, they also list the rubidium strontium radioactive dating method that was used on basalt rocks from on the top of the Grand Canyon in a lava flow at the top.
A lava flow at the top.
At the top. And what they're dating, scientists are dating when that lava cooled down and formed into a rock, a solid rock, when it went from a liquid flow to a solid rock. And they dated it, Fred, older than the Precambrian rock way down at the bottom, which they had dated at a billion years old. And they said, well, the lava on the top of the Grand Canyon is 1.3 billion years old. And of course, that's not possible.
So 300 million years later.
We understand overthrust and all that, but here's the Grand Canyon formed all the layer, all the strata, hundreds of strata, and it's just, it doesn't make sense.
It never does. Then that's the point of this article, is they cherry pick.
They take what supports their story, their evolution story.
And then there's so much that contradicts it, but you don't hear about that, those examples.
Like using dating methods to find out that different parts of an animal are radically different ages.
Right. Parts of an animal.
Yeah, and lava from Hawaii in a flow 200 years ago that's dated to be hundreds of millions of years old. This stuff is so common.
Well, speaking of a recent one, this same article deals with the lava rocks from Mount St. Helens. So that's kind of within recent memory.
It is.
And so those rocks should
not
be pretty young.
I remember it. They should be pretty young, and they were dated by potassium argon, right?
Potassium argon. So potassium decays into argon and has this real long half-life. But there was a problem.
What?
Well, the rock stated like really old, like
oh, no. 2 million.
2 million years old.
2 million years old in 1986. That's not 2 million years ago. It's more like 25 years ago. So, Fred, these are serious problems. You know, they assume that when a rock solidifies, it has zero argon 40.
That's
zero.
Right.
Well, this world-renowned scientist, Dr. Stephen Austin, geologist, has pointed out, hey, guys, that's incorrect. When a rock solidifies, it's got plenty of argon.
If I can give an example of how this radiometric decay works for the audience, hopefully a simple example, is imagine you walk into a classroom and I'm the teacher, and once a minute you notice me throw a wad of trash into the trash can.
Okay.
So I've done that for 5 minutes. Hmm. Now I ask the question, how long have I been doing this? How long have I been throwing trash in the trash can? Mm. Well, the clever student in the front row may raise his hand and say, I know how, and he runs to the trash can, and he counts 20 pieces of wadded trash in the trash can. Mm. So how long had I been doing it?
20 minutes.
20 minutes. So he's going to tell me 20 minutes. Well, now let's look at the assumptions that are built into radiometric dating. The first one is, was there any trash at the beginning in the trash can? What happens if the janitor didn't do his job the night before?
And Mount St. Helens proves that assumption is false.
It does. So say there was 15 pieces of trash. You told me I've been doing it for 20 minutes. I'd only been doing it for 5, so you gave me a much older age than it really was. The process was much longer.
Very good.
The other assumption is How rapid was I doing it before? What if right before you came to the class, I did a rapid fire?
Or what if you just threw 15 in there to start
at the same time? That's right.
Yeah.
And so the date's going to be a lot older, right, than it really is. And then the last assumption is, and we've already talked about it, we mentioned it here earlier, contamination. How do we know that little Johnny in the side of the classroom, we didn't see him also throwing pieces of trash in there?
Yeah.
So that also is going to increase the age of the process. And so you can't know how long I've been doing it.
Right.
Without making assumptions,
right.
And that's the point of
And so
of
when you are willing to stake your, you know, not only your intellectual reputation, but your eternal soul on the fact that we don't need God because the earth has been here billions of years, and so we know everything happened by, you know, chance and natural selection. Well, turns out, no, the evidence used to say we've been here for billions of years is not credible. And one of the examples, and this is widespread all over the world, is carbon 14 everywhere.
That's right. And then the one with the rocks on Mount St. Helens where we know the age of the rocks. Here we have rocks, we know the age, and yet we can't get a date that's right.
Right.
So why are we trusting ages of rocks where we don't know the age of so-called billions of years old rocks, but yet the rocks we know the age, we get it wrong all the time.
Yeah, what a great point. Now, Fred, in our list of not-so-old things, this is our annual show, our tradition. We like to look at things that are supposed to be millions or billions of years old, and where scientists are showing us things that are forcing us to reevaluate. For example, Montana State University found a Tyrannosaurus rex. They dug it up, and lo and behold, inside, when they cracked open the femur bone, they found soft tissue.
Soft tissue.
In a T-Rex.
In a T-Rex bone that's supposed to be 65 million years old?
65 million years old. And at first, pretty much the entire scientific community said it's not true, it's bogus, even though the scientists involved are secular scientists who are old Earth evolutionists, and they do impeccable work, and they just denied it until it's no longer deniable, because we're starting to find other dinosaurs now with soft tissue. But National Geographic, Nature Magazine, Scientific American, everybody admits the photos are all over the internet. You could go to kgov.com, look at list of not so old things and see them. But it's all over the world now. We're finding blood vessels, blood cells, hemoglobin, collagen, in these are biological compounds and cells and structures in fossils that are supposed to be millions of years old.
That's right. And, you know, really, it's a great witnessing tool, because you can do a search on Google right now and do T-Rex blood vessels, and you'll see these images. You'll find MSNBC reported on a lot of different places. And I've shown this to people at work, and they're flabbergasted. They had no idea.
No
they
idea.
See this, and it's powerful evidence that these dinosaurs are not millions of years old.
Why isn't it the scientific find of the century? Why doesn't it lead the evening news for 2 weeks straight? We found blood vessels of a T-Rex dinosaur.
Well, you know, the scientist who made this original discovery, Mary Schweitzer, she said, and she was quoted as saying, it's like looking at a slice of modern bone. And then they had this article in Discover Magazine that was amazingly candid when it said that this finding erased the line between the past and the present.
Yeah, right.
And she was quoted in there as saying that she presented this to a lot of different scientists, and one of them told her that there's no way it's true, he won't believe it. And she asked him, well, what evidence would convince you? And he said, none. So here's a guy whose mind is made up despite the evidence.
Right, despite
nothing
the
will
evidence.
Convince him.
And that's what evolution is about. You have a philosophical commitment against God as our creator, and so the science doesn't really matter. The science is just a smokescreen for a rejection of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the most part. Fred, our next item is a squid. They dug up a squid. This has been reported by the BBC, and this squid is 155 million years old. That's what they say, based on where they found the squid. We get this from the British Geological Survey's Dr. Phil Wilby. And this squid, when they dug it up, they broke open the fossil. And do you remember what they found inside of it?
Did they find ink?
They found ink.
Ink? Lasted that long? Billions or millions of years?
155 million years old squid, supposedly. And the ink was still squishy. In fact, it still worked perfectly in a pen. They put it in a pen, and they drew a picture of the squid, and they put its scientific name,
And I wonder if they use that ink to write an article in their evolutionary magazine.
they might as well have. And so I argue that that ink would not have stayed liquid. It would have dehydrated over thousands of years. It's not kept in a hermetically sealed freezer at 200 degrees below zero for thousands of years. It's kept in a rock for 155 million years. And so these are examples of the falsehood of the claim that these things are that old.
Yeah, it's amazing how many. I mean, we still got a lot of things to go through in this list. We add to it all the time. Every time we do a Real Science Friday show, it seems like we add another one.
Yeah. So the next one in our list of not so old things is the Scablands in eastern Washington. Fred, there are thousands of square miles of this land that I've driven through, and it looks fierce, you know. Well, geologists have told us that, well, this formed over millions of years. And now, according even to a NOVA TV show and geologists all around the world, now today, they're saying, you know what? The Scablands were formed by a flood.
By a flood.
By a flood. And it wasn't the global flood. It was a post-global flood when a glacial dam broke. There was a dam breach. And so that's how the Scablands were formed. So not over millions of years, but over a few hours.
That's interesting. And, you know, that we were talking about Creation Matters newsletter. There's actually an article in there about a geologist who's an evolutionist. And he said that Darwin had it all wrong, that he referred to some other geologist of that time, a peer of Darwin's, who said that he was an evolutionist, but he believed that there was all these catastrophic events followed by rapid adaptation. Now, doesn't that sound familiar that maybe there was one catastrophic event with one rapid adaptation?
That's right.
And here's this guy defending this claim, which actually fits the creation model perfectly.
It does. It does. So, Fred, there's another one. This is near Yellowstone. My family and I have gone to Yellowstone. We've stayed at the Old Faithful Inn there. We watch Old Faithful. We go study the best we can as, you know, a homeschool family, teach our kids about science. And there's a mountain nearby that broke apart. A mountain of rock covering 400 square miles broke into 50 pieces, and they slid apart over an area of more than 1,000 square miles, Fred. And, you know, everything happens gradually, right? Uniformitarianism, slowly, gradually. Well, now, according to leading geologists, they said it didn't take millions of years or thousands of years. What do you have that in front of you?
Well, yeah, the thing moved 62 miles in 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
This
62
mountain,
miles.
They believe now that the Heart Mountain detachment broke apart in 30 minutes, half an hour.
And just think, you know, it's about what? It's about 62 miles from Denver to, you know, south of Colorado Springs.
You got to be
going. If I can do that in 30 minutes.
You're going over 100 miles an hour, and you're a mountain.
Yeah. If I'm going that fast and I get there in that fast a time, that means I evaded the cops for a long time.
Now, Fred, this next one is not fair to the audience because radio, it should be at least interesting. And this is just so ho-hum, so boring. According to National Geographic, they found, well, it's just another dinosaur with soft tissue in it. Ho-hum.
Ho-hum.
Oh, boy. It's getting
old news.
So boring. This one is not a T-Rex, not a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but this is a hadrosaur. Hadrosaur, that's a different kind of looking animal.
It's kind of like a duck-billed dinosaur.
Yeah, and this hadrosaur, Fred, it was discovered by a team led by researchers at North Carolina State University, and it was older than the T-Rex that was 65 million years old. They said this was 80 million years old, and they found this is non-fossilized tissue discovered by the scientists, and scientists at Harvard were involved in this project, and they have now partially sequenced the proteins of this dinosaur.
So how can this possibly be millions of years old? What excuses are they coming up with?
80 million years old, and you have complex biological molecules still together so that their amino acids could be sequenced.
Yeah, and scientists know that there's no way that these complex proteins can survive millions of years,
just
let alone
the normal
vibration,
atomic vibrations. These complex, it's entropy. These complex molecules, they're going to begin to decay. They're not going to last for 80 million years of protein in a rock.
Yeah, this dinosaur died anywhere from, who knows, 1,000 to 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, and so the claim that these things are tens of millions of years old cannot be substantiated. So now let's keep going on this. Archaeopteryx feathers, Fred?
Yeah.
In the summer of 2010, scientists reported, because now that we found soft tissue in dinosaurs, all these scientists around the world are starting to take a second look at their fossils. And so scientists have reported that in Archaeopteryx feathers, they have found original biological material. And the Archaeopteryx, you know, they think that dinosaurs evolved into birds. And that had to happen a long time ago. So this is 150 million years ago. They got original biological material that is not fossilized
in this Archaeopteryx bird.
Yeah.
And really what that thing is just a bird. It's not a half bird, half dinosaur like they try to claim it to be.
Right.
But that's another of their fairy tales.
Yeah, there's a lot of fairy tales. So it 150 million year old biological material, or it's not that old. Okay, that's the choice that the members in the audience have. That's your choice. Okay, now there's a great one in our in our list of not so old things, jellyfish.
Is the family reunion story, right?
The family reunion story. You remember Charles Darwin said, well, at jellyfish, the reason we don't find fossils of jellyfish is because they have no hard parts, like they have no skeleton. And so that's understandable. When there's a global deluge and animals are being covered up by the billions, mostly it's your skeleton that'll remain and fossilize to be found later. Well, they do now occasionally find fossils of jellyfish, and this one is quite a find.
It's extremely rare, but they do find soft tissue jellyfish in other animals. And Bob, what's the story on this one?
Well, the story on this one is they have found a school of jellyfish fossilized over seven layers, and this is at a quarry in the Midwest here in the U.S., over seven layers, and those layers had been described as taking about a million years to form, all seven of them, not a million years each, but altogether, this layer of the quarry took a million years to form, and now they find a rare school of jellyfish fossilized with the jellyfish in all seven layers. Right. In this one area, in this one quarry.
So it wasn't a family reunion. It really should. Did each layer have like class reunion, 2,250 million BC?
Yeah.
Then the next one would be the next million years later. They gathered together.
Right.
What a powerful argument against those layers being millions of years old. Those layers were laid down rapidly.
They were laid down rapidly recently. And all at the same time.
Yes.
And all at the same time, and creationists who understand how the strata got laid down in the world we live in, those creationists, somebody could call into this show on another program and say, well, how could that be? How would they all end up fossilized in the same area? And we could answer that. Just like the petrified trees in Yellowstone, all on the same hillside in 15 different strata, we can answer that.
And you know, I wonder if this would stump the professor.
Stump the professor. Well, that's right, at KOA. Now, we mentioned Gino Geraci, a fellow talk show host in Denver and pastor of Calvary Chapel. He will be speaking at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship Friday night, February 11th at 7 o'clock.
That's right, next Friday at Bethlehem Lutheran Church on 21st and Wadsworth, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and Gino is one of my favorite talk show hosts. He loves the Lord. He has got a scientific mind, and he fights for the unborn, for the personhood of the unborn child. So Gino's a neat guy, and he's going to be speaking. But then on KOA Radio, which is 50,000 watts, up on the dial at 8:50 a.m., they've got a Sunday morning show, Stump the Professor, a guy from CU up in Boulder. His name is Fred Ebert. We sent him an offer to debate us, you and me, on the age of the earth. And he was stating on his show a few weeks ago that he asked the audience, should he do it or not? And Fred, the vote was 5-2. Five of his audience members said, yes, do it. Their names were Dylan, David, Bob, Bryce, and Randy. One was an atheist. And he said, you know what? Whenever I hear a civil conversation, I always learn so much. So even though I'm an atheist, I'd like to hear this. And two people, Richard and Ed, said no. The Stump the Professor host, Fred Ebert, he said, you know what? I think I'm going to do the debate. And he said, I believe the people who have invited me have every intention, I'm reading from a transcript, of having a polite discussion with no intention of attacking me, but attacking only my beliefs. I'm sure there'd be no yelling. And then he said, I think I will take the debate, Bryce. I think you and others have made it clear that it would be something that would be of value. And so that's the last I heard on the air.
Well, then I heard last week that one of our board members at RMCF said that he had heard on the, not this last Sunday show, but the Sunday before, that he has backed out. He doesn't want to do the debate.
Oh.
And I don't have specifics.
So Stump the Professor. You know, we did a debate on the age of the earth with a geophysicist, a very prominent geophysicist here in Denver about 5 years ago, and a mathematician up in from CU in Boulder. And that went very well for the young earth side.
Yeah, I think you're selling the debate, right? And they're not.
We sell that's it.
That's a good indication of who won that
debate.
So,
hey, Fred, can we continue this for next week? We'll continue our list of not-so-old things.
Absolutely.
All right, great. Thanks for being in studio. And this month, February, is our telethon month at Bob and Yurt Live. Our goal is to raise $20,000 to stay on the air another year and to get 100 people to pledge $20 a month. Please, if there's any way you can help, we really need your help to stay on the air. We don't have a big fund behind us or a mega church paying for this airtime. It is you. It's you. If you enjoy the show and you'd like us to continue to share the truth about God, the Creator, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, please call and help.
Hey, science fans. Now you can have all of the Real Science Friday shows on MP3 CD from 2007, 2008, or 2009. Hear Bob and Fred present the compelling scientific evidence that the Earth is young and that there is a Creator. Real Science Friday 2007, 2008, and 2009 are each available by calling 1-800-8-NYART. Or you can get the MP3 CDs or the MP3 downloads at kgovstore.com.